Last week, Pastor Seth talked about what it means to be a friend of God. Now I want to talk to you about what it means to have a soulmate. In the book, The Power of Agreement, I taught on three different kinds of people. I've preached this many times. Soulmates, teammates, and cellmates. Soulmates, if you can count five of them by the end of your life, you're doing pretty good. Soulmates are few and far between. They don't come around often. And if you ever find a soul to soul, the word nephesh in Hebrew is soul. It's your inner conscience. If you ever find someone that your nephesh, your soul connects with, don't let go of them. If you ever find a mentor that your soul connects with, don't let go of them. I love to watch Ron Carpenter Jr. because of how he honors people. He honors. He lives his whole life by one principle, and I've tried to live mine this way too, and it's a principle of honor. He will fly across the country to spend an hour with his spiritual father, Bishop Jakes, for lunch and fly back because he values that 1 hour. You know, if ever I have an opportunity to spend time, be it with my father in his study or other great men or women of God, I will do whatever I have to do to get that hour with them. It's important. When your nephesh, your soul, connects with someone and they're pouring into you, or if God's called you to someone else that you can pour into. Because sometimes we have to move from getting poured into to overflowing out into other people. If you've been a Christian for more than 4 or 5 years, it's time you start ministering to somebody. It's time you start discipling somebody. That's the way the kingdom of God works. You fill up and you overflow into the lives of someone else. But soulmates, these are the people that love you for you. You have a bad day, they still love you. You blow it up, you sin, you mess up, you lose your title. You're no longer Dr. Ronnie, Bishop Ronnie, Pastor Ronnie. You're just backwoods Ronnie. But they still love you. These are the people that are going to love you no matter what you can do for them. Some people only love what you can provide for them. They don't love you. They love you to get to the next person. You're just a stepping stone. They're opportunists. They want a relationship with you to get to who you're connected to. So you have to watch those kinds of people. But a soulmate is someone that's into you for you. We talked about David and Jonathan. We went deep into that. You got to have Ruth and you got to have Naomi. You have to have mentors. You have to have mentees, Elijah and Elisha. The kingdom of God works in pairs of twos. And it works in legacy. But a soulmate is someone that's connected to your soul. It's someone you're willing to give up your own ambitions for to see them fulfill their dreams. Like in the case of David and Jonathan. So you have to find out who your soulmates are. Teammates, which we'll get into next week. Teammates are people that God sends you for a season. And a season could be 5 years, it could be 8 years, it could be 10 years, it could be 2 months, it could be 2 weeks. But these are people that God puts in your life for a season. These people aren't against you. They don't dislike you. They're just for what you're for. And if you evolve and they don't evolve, they're going to change teams.
That's right.
And we shouldn't hate these kinds of people. We should be thankful that God sent us teammates to win the victories in that season. But when that season's over, so is the relationship. So you've got to understand when the season's over. Somebody say amen. Some of you have tried your whole life to force soulmates, or excuse me, to force teammates into the soulmate role. And if you do that, you're going to be frustrated in your relationships the rest of your life because not everybody's called to be your soulmate. You've got to be able to recognize through the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, who is a soulmate, who's into you for you, or who's into what you're for. And if they're just into what you're for, you work together, you commune together, you love one another, but it's still different than that soul-to-soul connection. And they're cellmates. Cellmates are the people who are only going to be happy if you stay in the same prison cell they are. If your issue's gossip, as long as you're gossiping with these people, they'll be in covenant with you. If your issue is drug addiction, as long as you're addicted, these people will be in covenant with you in the same prison cell that you're in. If your issue is judgmentalism, as long as you're judging with them, they'll be in the same prison cell that you are. If yours is a sex thing, then as long as you're still flowing like they are and going out and chasing men or chasing women, then they're going to be happy right there in the prison cell of addiction or shame or condemnation or guilt or your past or whatever it may be. Cellmates are only happy if you stay stuck with them. If you've ever done any studying about addiction, you know that most of the relationships that you build during the seasons of addiction, they're so carnal. It's just about getting high. Like, you just want to be around each other to get high. You don't really love each other. If there was no drugs, you probably couldn't even stand the person. And we do the same thing in life. Whatever sin we're struggling with, we're looking for a companion to sin with, to rebel against God with. These are cellmates. These are people who will turn on you the moment you try to get clean, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you start improving your life, you start following Jesus, you start supporting a local church, you really start following God. These cellmates will come out and they will be your biggest critics. My biggest critics aren't church people. They're not sinners. They are zealot, stuck up, religious people that think they get to decide who God blesses and who he doesn't. And let me tell you this, we don't get to decide who God uses. But one thing I know is that God uses people for whom he can get the glory. And we've got so many, I really think there are a lot of gifted people that never do anything. And the reason it's not because God didn't give them a gift, it's because of their pride. They'll get the glory. God's looking to get the glory. And he's looking for someone who will say, not my will, but yours be done. He's looking for someone who will be transparent and say, Lord, this is your kingdom. How can I serve you? How can I honor? How can I live a principled life? So those are the three kinds of relationships I believe every one of us have. Soulmates, cellmates, and teammates. Now, there are good kinds of cellmates too. How about Paul and Silas? Once in a while in the prison cell of addiction or in actual prison, you might find someone that has a song in the night. You might find a soulmate in prison that believes in the same God that you do that'll release a song in the night and chains will fall off and you'll be released into your freedom. The key is knowing who God is, knowing what he says, and knowing how the Spirit operates in your life. If you could just gain that wisdom. Solomon in the Bible, King Solomon, asked God for one thing, wisdom. And we overlook this all the time, but honestly, just an ounce of God's wisdom can bring you prosperity. Just an ounce of God's wisdom can invent something that's never been invented. Just an ounce of God's wisdom can write a song that goes number one to the charts. Just an ounce of God's wisdom can bring in resources. Just an ounce of God's wisdom. And he asked God for wisdom. He grew up in a royal line, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And there are really three climatic statements in this. The first one's vanity of vanity, and I've preached that 8 ways to Sunday, but it means meaningless, meaningless. It's a meaningless life. It means you can chase after the lust and the women and the wine and the wealth and all these promotions of the world, and you're going to come up feeling empty. And it uses the Hebrew word there, habla habla, which is what Adam and Eve said when they were carrying their dead child. And basically what King Solomon is saying here is, if you chase the vanities of life, if you chase what the world has, it's going to be like having a dead child in your arms screaming at God, why, why? That's how life ends for those who chase the wrong things. And so you have vanity of vanities, then you have what's right before the text tonight. He says, chasing the wind. He says, you know, we work under the sun. We do all these things under the sun. We work with our hands. But the principle here is that what King Solomon is saying here, most of us work to compete. There's a hidden piece of kingdom wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 4, and that it's most of us work not to honor God, to be better than the person next to us. And when we do that, it's nothing but a chasing of the wind. We are to work whatever we do. If it's digging ditches, if it's doing kingdom work, if it's business, if it's sales, if it's part-time, if it's full-time, if it's restaurant business, whatever it is, we're to do that to the glory of God, not to get ahead of one another. Why? Because God wants to bless our cooperation. We were at the Central Park Zoo, and we got to watch these sea lions yesterday, and we're reading some things about the sea lions and the chimpanzees, and it was amazing. This PhD, Dr. Shusuk, was talking about chimpanzees, and he said, you know, they put all these obstacle courses and things inside this area, and they watched them for over a year, and there were certain projects that they had to do together to complete. And then there were certain projects that they could do as a competition. And 9 out of 10 times, 90%, the chimpanzees chose to cooperate and collaborate with each other rather than compete. I thought that was pretty cool. A similar statistic to the sea lions. Because I still believe the natural tendency, especially for those of us with a soul, which animals do not have, our natural tendency is to compete because of the fall of man. That's the Adam in us. Let's compete. Let's do better. Let's go against God. We know better. We can be better. We're competitive. We're better than this one, better than that one. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is come together and let me bless you. So vanity, chasing of the wind, and the other phrase in Ecclesiastes is under the sun, which just simply means whatever we do in this world. That's what he's talking about. Whatever you put your mind to in this world happens under the sun. Okay, so we get to our text. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Tell you, if you want to find out if you've got a soulmate in your life or not, fall. You've heard the country song by Tracy Lawrence, you find out who your friends are. Go embarrass yourself. Go ruin your testimony. I don't mean literally. But I'm saying make a mistake. Or have a mistake made against you that shamed you, that you're not even guilty of. Watch how people will turn from you. In those moments you find out who are truly your soulmates. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? I told you the story about the miracle at Cue Creek on Sunday, and I finished the story about those miners that were trapped in that 55 degree Fahrenheit water, and the only reason they didn't die of hypothermia is because they circled around in a circle, one after another, and when one would pass out, they would pick the one up, and then they would continue to circle in that water for weeks, and none of them died. They all made it out of that mine alive because of the power of agreement, because they decided to take care of one another and to be all in together. I believe that's what God's calling His church to be. A church that's together. We're all different. Look at your neighbor and just say, you're weird. You are weird. I'm weird. Let's get that out of the way right now. We are all weird. We are all weird. We are. And now that we understand that, let's love each other. All right? We all understand that. Now we can love each other and work together and serve each other. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And you know the threefold cord. We can talk Father, Son, Holy Ghost here. We can talk Trinity here. We can talk Daniel, you know, we can talk the fourth man in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all that stuff. But I believe with all of my heart that the three-stranded cord is you, your soulmate, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus personified that keeps you connected. Yes, it's about husbands and wives. Yes, there's a covenant of marriage. Yes, there's a way that works, and I'll touch on that Sunday. But a soulmate, it's a spiritual connection. And the wisest man that ever lived who's really going through about a depression when he's writing this, is basically saying, listen, you need relationships. You need relationships. We need one another. You need friendships. You need people you can be real around. You need people you can have a bad day around. You need people you can pray with. You need people who you can share with about your children's junk or your grandchildren's junk or your work junk, and they're not going to gossip about you. They're going to love you for you. It's important. When we pursue God and we pursue relationships, we will discover that we're not alone on this journey that God has called us to. Number one, soulmates release multiplication. Everybody say multiplication. Two are better than one. It's important. When you connect with someone and it's a kingdom connection, the blessing of God will fall on that relationship. Now, it can't be one-sided. If you're always the one investing in them, that's not how it works. It is a mutual love, affection, where both are willing to sacrifice for the greater good. I don't care if we're talking about a marriage, a friendship, a church relationship. Soulmates release multiplication. If you find a relationship like this, the blessing of God will automatically fall on it and it'll be easy. God moves through relationships. How many of you have seen that in business? Are you more likely to invest in someone you trust or no? Are you more likely to hire someone that you know and that you love or someone that you don't know? You want to work with people who you trust, who you have a relationship with, and don't feel guilty about that. People say, that's just the way it's all about who you know. Yeah, it is. Dummy, know somebody. It is all about who you know. And if you know the soulmate, and he lives in your soul, he's going to bring other soulmates, and God will pour his spirit out on your relationships and bring blessing to your life. Rick Renner said this, if the enemy can succeed in isolating us from our brothers and sisters in Christ, he can stop our spiritual growth and make it impossible for us to fulfill our divine destiny. It's a great quote, isn't it? Let me read it again in case you're asleep. If the enemy can succeed in isolating us from our brothers and sisters in Christ, he can stop our spiritual growth and make it impossible for us to fulfill our divine destiny. Let me say this, and I've got a teaching anointing on me tonight, and I'll keep this moving. And I can only say this in this setting unless I'm just real fired up on a Sunday, because I wouldn't want to say this on a Sunday. Beware of Lone Ranger Christianity, Lone Ranger movements, Lone Ranger mission projects, and Lone Rangers. It's not that these people are bad. Their intentions are good. But the Bible teaches us time and time again that we are better together. Don't ever let anyone convince you that being disconnected from a church is okay. And to be out on your own like Whitesnake, here I go again on my own, is better than being connected with a local church and other people. I've seen people leave this church to start a ministry that would have prospered if they would have just stayed and let us work together.
That's right.
Because the inflow of resources coming into this church could have already paid for everything they've dreamed about doing, but because they won't submit to anybody, they got to go do their own thing, and they're poor all the time, and they can't afford to fulfill their dream because they wouldn't stay connected. And that's not my fault. It's people don't have kingdom wisdom, and we need wisdom. That's what Solomon said. He said, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Two, the connection accomplishes more. The connection, it accomplishes more. It says better than one. If two people are digging a ditch, it's going to be finished quicker than if one person's digging it. Amen? If two people are working on a project, it's going to be finished quicker than if one person's working on it. That's the way life works. I remember when I got married to Kelly, I didn't know this, 18, 19 years ago, my mom gave Kelly like this weird pep talk. And she was like, now Ronnie likes you to really brag on him. And if you'll brag on him and you'll help him, he'll work a lot harder around the house for you. You just have to brag on him and you have to tell him you'll work with him. And so I figured out how they've been tricking me all these years. Because that's the way we ought to do. Hey, let's go do this together. If I say, hey, let's do this together, you're more likely to help me if I say, hey, you go do this. If I say, hey, let's go do this, you're going to jump on board, right? Nobody wants to be talked down to. God's no different. He wants to be a part of what we're doing. Jesus understood this principle. He understood it with the disciples. He implemented it, and he saw 12 men change the world. And he sent them out two by two to hold each other accountable. People, we need to be in covenant with one another. We need to be with all of our hearts. And some people think, well, does it matter what church? I believe it matters, but this isn't even about Abba's House. If you think I'm trying to get you to do more in this church, you're missing the point, because that's not what I'm doing. It wouldn't matter if I was pastoring a church in Mississippi or Texas, I would give the same exact message, because I believe in the power of commitment and covenant relationships. I believe in it in Hickson, Tennessee, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I believe in it in Houston, Texas. I believe in it in every church in this city. Every church that operates with these kingdom principles, that church is going to be blessed. You can't lose when you operate in kingdom. You won't lose when you operate in kingdom. When you preach kingdom, when you live kingdom, when you function as kingdom and you have kingdom relationships, you can't lose. You'll never go wrong being committed, being in covenant, trusting God. It says they have a good return for their work. Number three, soulmates bless you. How do you know if someone's a soulmate? Man, they bless you. You don't have to ask them. You don't have to beg for it. They just bless you to bless you. They want to bless you. They love you. Amen? How many of you ever had somebody, family or otherwise, that you just like blessing? There's certain people I just want to bless, want to see do well. I've had people like that in my life, and I'm so thankful for them, and I've poured blessing out into other people. That's how life works, and it works that way at every level. You've got somebody blessing you right now, and you're blessing somebody. Somebody's blessing you, and you're blessing somebody. That's the way the kingdom of God works. And then you'll make a little more money, and you'll still have somebody blessing you, and you'll be blessing somebody if you're functioning in kingdom. It's the way God works. Soulmates bless you. It says, for they have a good return for their work. Who wants to achieve or win something without a witness, without somebody to celebrate it with? Who wants to get an award and not have someone there to celebrate it with? You know, how frustrating would it be to make the play on the athletic field or to go win a Lifetime Achievement Award or win Salesman of the Year and not have somebody to be proud of you? We all want people beside us. Sometimes we need Jesus with skin on. Heard a story about a little girl, and her dad would say a prayer with her every night. And one night, he'd already said their prayers, and he was downstairs trying to watch TV, and the little girl said, Daddy, there's a monster in my room. And he said, honey, I already asked Jesus to take care of you tonight to protect you. Jesus will get rid of that monster. And a few minutes later, Daddy screamed, the monster still. He said, honey, I already told you I asked Jesus to get rid of that monster. And she said, Daddy, I need somebody with skin on. And sometimes in life, we need somebody with skin on. Somebody that has Jesus living on the inside of them, that sees kingdom, that operates kingdom, that functions in kingdom, that just simply wants to bless us. Soulmates bless you. If you're always doing the blessing, you might be in covenant with a teammate. Or you might just be helping someone in need, and that's good. Those are biblical things too. But soulmates are people that bless you. They're people that bless you. I'll pick on Jim Biggs. The funniest thing he ever has ever said, ever, was the night I ordained him into the ministry. I've never told anybody this, and he's in Jamaica right now. And so I'm going to pick on him. But it was the funniest thing. He was crying. I laid hands on him. We prayed in the Spirit over a bunch of them. We'd ordained a bunch of them, you know. And we were crying and praying and ordained him and Teresa. She was, you know, in the third heaven and all that stuff. And he was coming down from the anointing. And Ron Cunningham walked by him, a couple of Tony Quarles. And he looked at Tony kidding around and said, "You see what money can buy?" And we've laughed ever since and said, "You bought your way in, you know, kidding around." But the truth is, you know, if you sow into God's kingdom, He's going to take care of you. You cannot outgive God. If you bless people and you're that kind of a friend, God's going to bless you. Everybody I've ever blessed, every soulmate I've ever blessed, and I've blessed a bunch of them, God's returned it. He's returned it. Next, soulmates don't forsake you when you need them the most. Soulmates don't forsake you when you need them the most. Sooner or later in this life, you're going to lose somebody that you love. You're going to have a failure that you're not proud of, a divorce. You're going to have a child that didn't turn out perfect like you thought they would. That's just a part of life. It's funny to grow up in church and you see parents, they think the kids are all going to be so perfect when they're five. And they judge everybody else that has kids that are teenagers, like they're not as spiritual. Then their kids get teenagers. And the same Adam, the same curse gets on their kids. And they have to pray them through that, just like the rest of us. But eventually you're going to have some heartache in your life. I hope you don't have as many as I've had, but you're going to have them. And they're not fun, they're not fair, but they are a part of life. And it's in those moments, though, one where you'll realize the Spirit of Jesus like never before. You'll realize that He never leaves you, never forsakes you. His voice has been the loudest in my life when I've been the broken, the most broken. His voice has been the loudest when I've been the most broken. So sometimes thank God for the brokenness. Thank God for the heartache, because I'm telling you, when I am weak, He is strong. I've heard from God more when I've been at the bottom than I ever have at the top. So sometimes let God just break you down, because He's trying to rebuild you. But other than Jesus, you're going to have some friends that's going to come too and say, "Hey, let's pick you back up." One thing I enjoy being criticized for is restoration. Yeah. Criticize me for it. Make fun of my grace. Do it. Put it on my tombstone. "He forgave too much. He restored too quick. He gave too much grace." I'm good with it. Because I'm telling you, that spirit, that principle has taken me places I could have never taken myself. When you understand kingdom, these principles will do things for you that can't be explained. I'll close here. Well, almost. I'm going to get too excited. Soulmates transcend seasons. "If you two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone?" Who in your life challenges you? In other words, who in your life is keeping you warm during the cold times? Cold representing death, sickness, illness. Who in your life is keeping that fire going? You need people in your life that keep your fire going, not that pour water on it. Who's saying, "Dream again"? Who's saying, "Believe again"? Who's saying, "You can own your own"? You can be your own. You can do your own. Who's coming alongside you and saying, "I believe in you. I believe in your children. I believe in your dreams. I believe in your passion"? Who's keeping that fire going? It's probably a soulmate. You need people that ignite your passion. Amen? You don't need people that just, "Oh, well, you know, that'd be great. Maybe one day." Man, I want some people around me that say, "Man, you can do it. You can go. You can do it. We can do it. Let's do it together. What can I do? Let's believe together. Let's make declarations." I'm telling you, man.
We need a people of faith to start speaking faith into the atmosphere. Soulmates win together. Final point. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. In spiritual warfare, two can fight better than one. Jesus said, again, I tell you that if two of you agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Power of agreement. You must understand, when your back's against the wall, your soulmate's going to be right next to you. See, I grew up in a culture of guys that, you know, you just didn't fight alone. If somebody came after you, they were going to have to fight you all. You know, that's the way the Christian life ought to be. Why do we leave lions alone to be attacked by hyenas? Why don't we back each other up more? Soulmates win together. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. So here are some times where we win together, where we come together. One, when we need our prayers answered. How many of you say, Pastor Ronnie, I needed some prayers answered tonight? When we need to be in His presence. It says, wherever two or three of you are gathered, there I am with them. That's His presence. You need prayers answered. You need to be in His presence. The friend that sticks closer than a brother will be there every time. Jesus will never leave you feeling like a zero. I don't know about you, but I've never truly cried out to Him when I've been under attack and felt like, man, He's left me here. He's left me here. Remember the story of Emmaus Road after the crucifixion? Two disciples are walking and they're hurling words at each other and they're mad and they're like, this Jesus guy, He lied to us. He's a fraud. He's still in the grave. And the Greek there, man, they were mad at each other. They were hopeless. And guess who showed up? The resurrected King. And just took a walk with them. It's interesting to me because when Adam and Eve sinned, they felt empty, unworthy, and lonely. Three things we all struggle with today. And God calls out and they've covered up their nakedness and they're hiding from God. And He's just wondering why they won't walk with Him. He's just wondering why they won't walk with Him. He's not even mad at them. And then you have this in Luke 24, and these disciples, they're hurling words at each other. I think they were cussing. That's my opinion. I think they were going off. And I think Jesus just said, hey, let me walk, take this Emmaus walk with you. Let me just sit right in the middle. You know, God just wants to be with you. He's the greatest soulmate. So if you need to be in His presence, you need prayers answered, you need to fight the enemy, you need some help, why don't you join hands with this church, with your friends, and take the fight to the enemy? Amen. We're going to worship tonight just a little bit before we go at 7:50. Stand on your feet. Would you just grab the hand of the person next to you? If you're uncomfortable with that, just kind of go run in a corner somewhere. But just grab the hand. I just want us to start praying. Just pray privately. If you need to be in His presence, Brian's going to take us there. If you need to fight devils and demons and addictions for your family, just start praying. And the people who are praying beside you are going to pray for you and vice versa. And we're just going to release this symphonia, this agreement tonight. And I believe that God's going to create some soulmates in our church tonight, some relationships that are going to be strengthened. Father God, do what only You can do in these last few minutes of worship tonight. Heal the sick. Clean us up for those who've come in here tonight and they've got sin. They've got a sin-sick soul. Father God, I pray they'd ask for forgiveness right now. Nobody needs to know what they've done, what they've thought, what they've said. Lord, just go ahead and cleanse that right now. Father, there are people who are facing some difficult decisions tonight. Very difficult decisions. Give them wisdom. like you gave Solomon. And Father, in abundance, give the people of Ivy's House kingdom vision, kingdom discernment. Teach them how to walk out these kingdom principles that are being released. Lord, for your kingdom to be advanced, you need kings and priests, sons and daughters. And Lord, I believe you're raising up an army here at this church. Lord, give them the ability to see kingdom. Not religion, but kingdom. Give them principled lives. Give them a foundation of your scriptures and your word. Let them know why they stand, where they stand, and for what they stand for. Father God, we know we're all different. We don't always have to agree with each other's methods, but we can love each other. So Father God, teach us to love each other. Teach us to fight devils together. Teach us to stand for one another. Teach us to be agents of grace and ministers of reconciliation, as it says in 2 Corinthians. Lord, teach us to work together, to serve together, to strive together, to love together. Worship you.